Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Second hour of Forward Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. 12:55 today, we've got your Nats tickets, as we do each and every day. And top of every hour, next chance just after noon, opportunity for $1,000 in the Cash Flash Contest. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Welcome on to the show, our buddy Albert Breer. Albert, we saw you tweeting about the competition committee and the officiating czar, Al Riveron and company, getting together. Sounds like we could have some movement on reviewable pass interferences after the Saints-Rams debacle. What can you tell us?
Well, I think that this has sort of gone back and forth a bunch and probably proved the point about that some people were making that were hesitant to enact change here. But, you know, initially they just decided to make, offensive pass interference and defensive pass interference, you know, part of the regular review system. And so that meant in the final 2 minutes, it would be in the official's hands. And then over the last, I'd say, month or so, as Al Riveron and the officiating department were going and doing their visits with coaches, concern came up that there's so much potential for, you know, pass interference calls here and there that you could wind up having a ton of stoppages in the last 2 minutes of the half and of the game. And they were trying to avoid, foul shots at the end of a basketball type situation with these things. And so now they're going to go back, and I think they're going to make it down. They were saying maybe we should go back and look at this again. Today they voted the owners voted to empower the competition committee to change this. So after they do their conference calls with the coaches in the beginning of June, they could actually put their challenges on just pass interference, just offensive and defensive pass interference, back on the coaches within the last 2 minutes of halves and games. So complicated. I think it just sort of explains why there are issues with this whole thing in general, and it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. And then the other piece that's actually further complicates all of this is the fact that they're going to exempt Hail Marys from this. Well, how do you define a Hail Mary?
How do you do that?
That's going to be part of this, too, is they're going to have to go and write a definition of a Hail Mary, which they haven't done.
Well, they're so good at writing very clear definitions, like the catch rule, for example. I imagine this will be a formality.
I feel like I just talked for like 5 minutes straight. So, obviously, this isn't very
easy. I know.
I think clarity is something that everybody needs in this, you know?
Well, but, Aaron, that was going to be my follow-up question here. Is how in the hell do you define a Hail Mary? Is it a certain number of receivers in the end zone at one time? Is it any throw over 50 yards? There's a time on the clock. How the hell do you do that?
I don't know. I mean, do you include? I mean, here's the thing too. Like, do you include like the Kenyon Drake Rob Gronkowski play from last year? Right. I mean, because technically, like that, you know, was a Hail Mary situation, right? So just because they didn't throw it into the end zone, is that different? It's just, I mean, to me, it's fascinating because, like, it's like one of the, I guess it's like porn, right? Like, you know what it is when you see it. you know what a Hail Mary is, but can you actually put down on paper what it actually is? I think it's pretty hard to define, you know? I mean, they're even like, and I think we could all come up with examples of, like, where there'd be gray area. It's like, well, what happens if, you know, say you got three receivers to your right, one receiver to your left, and instead of throwing to the three receivers you're running down to the right side of the field, you throw to the guy who's on the left side of the field. Is that a Hail Mary? You know, I mean, it's just like there's so many things here that you could look at and say to yourself, well, how are we going to officiate this? How are we going to officiate that? It's obviously pretty problematic.
Kansas City's overtime proposal, Albert, was also tabled. I mean, it didn't even make it to a vote, and Albert Breer of MMQB is with us. To me, this is a no-brainer. I've hated the way they've done overtime for years. I hated the change. It just leads to more ties. Both teams should get the ball, but it seems why don't teams want that? I don't understand.
I think there's one thing that, and this is an important piece, maybe not to fans, but to the owners, is the networks. You know, the networks want these games to happen within their windows, and the networks generally aren't, you know, overly excited about having games spill into other games that way. And so, you know, I think that that's part of it. Obviously, the length of game, is a big piece of it when it comes to the business side of all of this. And then, you know, I think there's a player safety thing, too, which is the idea of adding time to games. And, you know, the one idea that I've actually really liked for overtime, and this is, I believe, a Belichick idea, but I absolutely subscribe to it, is, you know, having the idea that, okay, like, let's just play a 10-minute period. And, you know, we'll let them play with a clock, like, under normal conditions. But, you know, the issue with that and the issue with this has always been you're adding plays to the game, so there's more opportunity to players get hurt. You know, you're adding more plays onto a player's body over the course of a season if you do that. And so that's, you know, been the issue in the past. And I think the other part of it too, guys, I mean, look, a lot of times when a team proposes something like this and it's coming off of, you know, a single event, like it is in the case of the Chiefs, a lot of other owners are going to look at that and sort of roll their eyes at it, you know, and say, well, that's just sour grapes. And so I think that there's an element of that too. We'll see what happens. I mean, this isn't completely killed. It's just tabled to next year. And Rich McKay actually did say during the press conference that they would look at the possibility, and this makes sense to me, of maybe just enacting it for the postseason first, where, you know, at the very least, when the stakes are highest, each team would get a possession in overtime.
Albert Breer with us here, MMQB, at Albert Breer on Twitter. Great follow. Got to ask you quickly about OTAs. There's another rash of injuries. Reuben Foster here, obviously, is the marquee one, but some other guys have gotten hurt. Is there going to be kind of a pulse of some veteran guys saying, you know what, they're not going to get me that way? Do you think that's going to happen, start more and more with a lot of guys no-showing, like whether it's Beckham or Antonio Brown or otherwise? What do you think?
No, because I think a lot of these guys are going to be doing these drills regardless. You know what I mean? And I don't think what's happening at OTAs is overly dangerous. And, you know, I think one of the subtle things that you have to pay attention to here is the fact that if these guys get hurt away from the facility, the teams don't have to pay them. And so if they get hurt doing something outside of the facility, they're actually in a much worse place than they would be if they get hurt at the facility. The fact that happened to Reuben Foster, and look, the whole thing's, you know, obviously not fortunate, but that happening to Reuben Foster during OTAs rather than in some other workout actually, like, assures him that he's going to get his money while he's injured. And so, you know, for a guy who had all the guarantees in his contract voided because of all the things that he was involved in earlier in his career, the fact that this actually happened at the team facility completely protects him, where, you know, at least now he'll get his money for 2019. Going forward, obviously, there are bigger questions, but at least for now it's protected him, where he will get his money for right now.
Albert Breer, always great with us on Grant and Danny. Thank you much. We appreciate you hopping on.
Thanks, Albert.
Thanks, guys.
We'll chat again soon. Always worth talking about some of the rule changes coming. I just don't know how they're going to legislate that PI reviewable and not reviewable at the end of the game. I don't want to live in a world where you can challenge on a pass interference if someone's arm got grabbed.
The first rollout of it's going to stink. It's like the new technology. The second one, where they realize some of the permutations that they never thought of in the lab, they'll go, oh, okay, we'll fix it. So you were going to have something controversial this year if they enact it, where some coach will figure it out, probably Belichick, and they'll get something that they shouldn't.
Get this, Danny. In 4 days, on Tuesday, we'll have reached 20 years of Dan Snyder owning the Redskins.
Yeah. Oh.
May 26th, 1999. Get into that next on Grant and Danny.
You know people in your life that think they'll live forever? They say crazy stuff like, I'm as healthy as a horse, or I'm in my prime. And maybe they are. Maybe they're not. Fact of the matter is, it's never too early to start thinking about life insurance. Ethos is a life insurance company that makes doing the responsible thing easier than ever before. You can get covered in just 10 minutes online with no pesky or pushy salespeople. You choose a policy that fits your needs and budget.
So visit ethoslife.com and get started by clicking Check My Price. They'll guide you through the online application. It only takes 10 minutes for most people. Insure your life today by going to ethoslife.com/thefan to apply online. Insuring your life and providing your family with financial security has never been easier. Again, this is ethoslife.com, and you're 10 minutes away from your estimated rate. Make sure your family's future is safe no matter what.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week, Dan Snyder bought the Redskins. I've got a story pulled up here from Wednesday, May 26th, 1999, from A1, that is Steak Sauce in the Washington Post.
Yep.
Front page. People were excited.
I was a sophomore at the George Washington University, lifelong Redskins fan. I was giddy. I was so excited, my friend.
I had just turned 11 years old, and I remember thinking, we got this young, hotshot, rich dude who's going to spend money.
This is what I've always hoped for.
I'll take it. National Football League owners voted unanimously today to approve the sale of the Washington Redskins and Jack Kent Cooke Stadium to a group headed by Daniel M. Snyder for $800 million, a record price for U.S. sports franchise. This is the post from Len Shapiro and Mark Maskey. Maskey's been at it for a while, eh?
Yeah.
By a margin of 31-0, the league ended an arduous and often bitter 9-month sale process conducted by trustees for the estate of late team owner Jack Kent Cooke. It also allowed Snyder, 34 at the time, a lifelong Washingtonian, to complete what he described as an unbelievable journey and fulfilling a lifelong dream. Buying the Redskins is, quote, the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me, end quote, said Snyder, a Bethesda marketing executive. I'm a huge fan. It's that simple.
They won. Now, here's why I was excited. Since Gibbs left, from 93 through 98, they won 9 games once. Now, they had an 8-7-1 record when I was a senior in high school in 97. But it was a lot of 3-4-6. We were in the dark days. This was terrible. They needed this injection of life. They needed this new hotshot billionaire with new ideas. They hadn't figured out free agency and how to use it yet, right? The modern era of free agency really began in 92, and the Redskins never adjusted. Gibbs and his old techniques of stashing guys and having huge rosters and being able to practice and go hard and into December and have full contact, you couldn't do that stuff anymore. You had to adapt. He saw the writing on the wall and he moved on. The organization was floundering. They were terrible. They couldn't get right. And here came this guy that was a fan that was going to spend, and it was, we thought at the time, a breath of fresh air.
Well, don't forget.
That first season, they go 10-6 with the best offense, or the second best offense in the sport, but one of the best offenses the Redskins had ever seen.
And that had nothing to do with him. I mean, he came in May,
yes,
and the team had essentially already been built. He was there for training camp and then into the season. But that 99 year when they were 10-6, Brad Johnson throws for 4,000 yards and makes the Pro Bowl, and Steven Davis rushes for 1,456 yards. And
2,000-yard receivers.
You know, they were the number two offense in the league. Westbrook and Connell both went for 1K. It was an exciting brand of football. That offseason, his first offseason with his fingerprints on it, yep, is when he spent his $100 million, and everything changed. He brings in Mark Carrier and Deion Sanders.
Bruce Smith.
He went ham sandwich. I mean, he just went crazy. And immediately after bringing in Jeff George, wanted him to play for some reason over Johnson, who inexplicably they were supplanting, who was phenomenal the year earlier. And the rest, as we all know, is history. I saw this quote, though, in this piece from 20 years ago. I'm not focused on the money. I'm focused on the opportunity and the dream. Hundreds of fans have written to me with their support and suggestions. Your most pressing issue is no different than mine. You want to win. We want to win. We're going to deliver that. 20 years later, and they haven't gotten close.
Four times the number of head coaches than playoff wins. No 11-win seasons.
None. That's harder to... I think it's harder to not win 11 games for close to 30 years than to win 11 games a couple times.
Three 10-win seasons, including that first year of 99, which you alluded to, he had very little to do with.
Yeah, so I'm even going to say he's been at the controls for two 10-win seasons.
Two 10s and two 9s. That's his legacy in 20 years.
And of those two 10s, one, they were 5-6, and they won 5 in a row in 05. One... Off the top of my head, they were 3-6. 6, and they won 7 in a row in 2012. Mm-hmm. And of the two 9s in 07, they were 5-7. Sean Taylor died. They won 4 in a row to get to 9-7. And they were 5-7 in 2015, and they won 4 in a row with Kirk Cousins and Jordan Reed going nuts in December of 2015 to get to 9-7.
The lack of success under his ownership is staggering. It really is. This is Detroit with the Fords level stuff. This is, you know, your first or second iteration of the Browns, I mean, depending on which one you want, level stuff. They have been so bad under him. It's amazing, man. To think about that first year in 1999, the excitement, the overwhelming support that he early on received, and then that first year, again, I know obviously he had very little to do with it, but you're going, how great is this? They're 10-6, and now here goes this guy spending on Hall of Famers to supplement a team that's already pretty good.
There's a Hall of Famer.
There goes a Hall of Famer. I thought in the year 2000, they were going to win the Super Bowl. I legit thought that. Can you imagine thinking that? Can you imagine looking at the Redskins and going, there's a Super Bowl team? But that's what I thought. I thought 10-6, you shore up the defense just a little tiny bit. That group that couldn't stop anybody for most of the season with the number two offense in the sport. Let's go win the whole damn thing. Boy, did that come crashing down. Oh, was that bad.
20 years ago. I remember when he got introduced like it was an hour ago. I mean, that's one of those like, wow, that's a quarter of a lifetime. If you're lucky, you live 80 years.
Uh-huh.
It's been 20. That's nuts. And they've gotten next to nothing accomplished.
That's half my life ago, by the way.
I don't think they're the furthest away that they've been under him. I mean, I would have said that maybe a year or two ago. You might have gotten closer and taken a step forward if Dwayne Haskins is the right quarterback. I like the offseason, the draft that they had. Each of the last 2 years, really, I've liked their draft classes. But you don't feel like they're close by any means.
Yeah, 2013 was the furthest away. It's when you went from hope and promise, giving up all the draft picks that you did, mm-hmm. and then Griffin was never going to be the same. And it was the last year of Shanahan and the leaks, and they were arguing with various leaks through the media.
Yeah, he was lighting fire to the organization on the way out.
That was the furthest away, because even an adult couldn't fix it.
Our double play at 11:45 today is going to be a vote on the phones from our listeners as to what I've got to do about something.
Oh, man.
I'm going to set that up with you next.
You're going to crowdsource this, Bad Jackson?
I am. Something happened today that I'm going to need some thoughts from our listeners on.
Okay.
But first, you get your chance to weigh in. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny with you on 106.7 The Fan. Les Carpenter covers the Redskins for the Washington Post. We'll ask him who he expects the Redskins to go get at inside linebacker now that they've lost Reuben Foster for the season. He'll be on the show today at 1 o'clock. Next hour at 12:55, your chance to win Nats tickets. And is anybody in the Eastern Conference going to push the Golden State Warriors? I need a little help, though, Danny.
Go.
From our listening audience. So here's the question. You don't know what this is yet.
I do not, yes.
I'm going to get your reaction on the air, and then we'll get some calls on this, ideally for the double play. I get here. I'm walking up the steps. Thom and I are coming up through the parking garage together, enjoying my morning strut up the steps, talking to Thom about the fresh shave on his face. He looks very good. He's got to clean the easel a little bit. He's going to work on a new goatee, new beard. Okay, cool. I'm walking by CK's office. I stop in. I said, hey, I just listened to the Rizzo interview. Thought there was some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm talking to CK, our program director, the Tupperware that I have my lunch in falls out of my hand. It hits the ground and it opens on CK's carpet. In that Tupperware container, I'm very excited about this meal. I've got chicken thigh skewers and asparagus.
Yep.
By our standards, that's what a 70 meal looks
like.
Yeah,
that's a delicacy.
That's about as good as it can get.
For us.
Two chicken thigh skewers on a stick that my wife made and prepared and gave me the Tupperware, and I've got the asparagus. It's going to be a great meal. I'm very excited about this meal. If all goes well, I'll probably eat it around 12:30 or 1 was the plan all day.
Sure.
It falls on the carpet.
Yep.
In CK's office, right when you walk in, very high traffic area of his office.
Yeah.
Like the amount of people that stop by his office every day.
Constant flow in there.
Stand in the door and just ask him a quick question. I would say upwards of 15 to 20 people, right?
Yeah, there's a constant flow that goes into his office.
Where I dropped these items is right there where you would stand to ask him a question, like in the door. Hits the ground. He's like, oh, no, did that hit the ground? I'm like, yep, it totally did. It took me, I'd say, somewhere between 5 and 7 seconds.
Okay.
Let's say 5 to round it out to an easy.
Can I average? What if he said 6?
All right, we'll go
to
6.
To average it, 6 seconds. Okay.
It's on the ground. It's back in the Tupperware. Okay. My current plan is to run some water over those suckers. I'm going to put them in the microwave or just wipe them with a little napkin or something to make sure they're okay. But I'm going to eat all of that. I'm going to eat that. CK said, no chance. You can't do it. He said, you just can't. You can't eat that now. I said, well, it was on the ground barely. The carpet itself looks clean. Probably vacuumed last night by the custodians. But I can't be sure. I don't know that definitively. I'm guessing. And even if it wasn't, even if I knew it hadn't been vacuumed, I would still probably eat it. I would have to, again, I'd either consider running some water on the skewers or just kind of wiping with a little bit of a napkin.
Yeah. The running water over your food is an interesting thing.
I'm not happy about it.
Right. You shouldn't, nor should you be. Yeah.
But the key to me is I'm heating this up. I'm not eating it cold. It's right off the floor.
Okay.
I think when you heat something up in general, like some germs die, some things could go by the wayside.
No, it's true. It's how you sterilize stuff, yeah.
So my plan as of right now is that I'm going to eat my lunch as I was planning.
You're going to go ahead with the plan?
Before I dropped it. CK says there's no chance I should do that. Dara's gone on record saying, I can't believe you're going to eat that. I think it's 5 or 6 seconds. I think this is a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Go ahead, Brian. Sing it, brother.
Chicken thigh skewers and asparagus. I want you to understand something again before Danny weighs in.
People are going to Joan
for
right
you
away,
guys.
Obviously.
You're like, oh,
yeah.
Definitely throw that out and get Five Guys. I'm awesome. You are awesome.
You
I'm
are
not.
Awesome.
I don't get to eat Five Guys. I got to eat chicken thigh skewers when I'm lucky. Today was going to be a great lunch day. I was excited about today.
I think context matters an awful lot here. And the stuff drops on the floor at home where you can control cleanliness and those kinds of levels. Depends on what you're doing. That'll happen a lot with little kids, as you know, right? The objects are in the mouth and they go down to the ground. The pacifier, what do you do? How do you handle it? And we are from the school of let's rinse it, and then the parents, actually, this is a weird bit. This is very European of us, like Norwegian style. We will get our own saliva on the pacifier and then put it back in the baby's mouth to help with their immunity and they build stuff up.
Weird.
You've got to expose yourself to things, right? We read that in one of the million books. The point of that is, if you're eating off your own floor, not your favorite, not your best practice, but
You know when it's been clean.
Well, yeah, it's slightly more
your
acceptable.
Germs than someone else's.
Yeah, so we usually go shoe-free at home to try to help with that sort of stuff, et cetera. That spot that you're talking about, you've not only got carpet, which just is a dirt gathering germ festival at all times. If it's been cleaned, it's with stringent, disgusting, harsh, gross chemicals. And at my wager is that it hasn't been cleaned. You're now talking about among the grossest surfaces that we have. I'm not eating that.
Even though it barely was on the ground.
Even though
drops,
it was barely.
Hits, pick it up, put it back in the container.
We're calling it 6 seconds. If you immediately had started to clean it in that moment, I could maybe see, but now it's just festering the Tupperware. Now it's just hanging out.
I just put
it
back in and went and put it in the fridge.
It's now gross. And it's you're going to run water on it. This is a sunk cost. This is a terrible thing that happened to you. I'm sorry that it happened because I can empathize, obviously,
you're
with the lunch situation.
You're adamantly against me eating it.
I'm not adamant. I'm not as adamant as CK or
if
adamant
I
as
eat
Dar.
It, your response would be?
I wouldn't have done that. That's okay. As strong as I'll go. Zero is, of course you eat it. Who cares? 100 is, oh my God, you're terrible.
See, I'm close to zero on this. I can't believe someone wouldn't eat this.
For me, 40. No, 35.
I also have a silly immune system. Silly immune system.
We all know that's not true.
That's so true. I never get sick.
You're constantly sick.
That's just not correct.
You were sick last week. Weren't you?
I was sick last week. That's true. Well, if by sick you mean I had sinuses. Is that sick?
Yes.
When I say sick, I mean like I haven't thrown up. I haven't
had an illness,
a flu. I've never missed work in my life for a sickness.
Yeah.
I don't really get sick. I get sinuses. If that's sickness, then I guess that's...
It does. It qualifies. It's past the... It's like a germ has caused a reaction in you.
Right.
That's under the umbrella of sick.
Silly immune system.
But it's not like...
I think I haven't had a flu or like a bug, but maybe once or twice in my entire life.
So
knock on wood.
Just the thing I can think of top of my head is on the way to Florida.
Yeah. That was one of the two times.
That was one of the times. And yeah, I mean, so I will say
and
you
I still
don't
think that was probably from eating something bad on my honeymoon.
You don't miss work very often.
Mm-hmm. You were sick like 3 weeks around Thanksgiving last year. You couldn't shake that cough.
Well,
remember, he was
work.
Coughing for months.
We
yeah, but he was still
we
sick.
We did a bunch of segments.
Same
about
thing.
It.
Yeah, it was the sinus bit.
Right.
That.
So that counts as sickness.
Yeah, if that's sickness, then I do get sinuses. There's mm-hmm. no doubt. I'm not denying that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about like
significant
flus.
Stuff. Like, yeah.
I guess it would just be a flu. Like,
yeah, I know what
people
you mean.
Get sick with bugs or like throw up.
Like the day that I came
I've
in here and I was like, something's not right. And then I went and had Vomitoff cocktail in the bathroom
time,
and CK
way,
sent me home.
I was walking with my mom to like the mother son tea party in second grade.
Right on.
And I didn't go to school that day, and I just really wanted to take her to this tea party we'd been planning for months. And, like, I'm butt sick. We're trying to walk to it at Potomac Elementary School, and I have to stop in the field, and I, like, yak. And she's like, we're not going. Like,
we're skipping the
we're
tea party.
We're going home. Like, that's the two times I think I've been legitimately sick.
I'll buy that.
But anyway, that's where we're at on this. Thommy, what are you in or out on me eating this meat?
If I had to choose, I would say I'm out on you eating the food that hit the floor. And there's many reasons why. One of the things is what Danny said about the cleaning and the dirty vacuum that goes all over this building going in that office. We've also had people who have been sick who have used CK's office as a medical wing of the building where they've stayed in, you know, JP during the Christmas show.
That wasn't sick. That was drunk.
Still, that room was used.
Yeah, not a great... You know, it's not a hospital. You know
right.
what I mean?
right. But when people are sick and they can't drive home or whatever, they usually go into the boss's office. Mm-hmm. That's exactly where you drop your food. So I would say those two reasons say I'm out. But if you do want to stay EMP friendly, and I don't know if it's EMP friendly because I'm, of course, not on the diet, but I've heard you talk about it before. There's a place right down the street where you can get your chicken skewers that haven't touched the floor, fingers crossed.
Non-floor skewers.
Nando's. I love Nando. It's why we do chicken skewers. My wife is trying to give me my Nando experience with this lunch.
The home game of Nando.
Look, it's. I could consider that. I mean, now I've got a.
You could still be on the ball. You've been thinking about it all day.
I have been. It's true, and they'd be delicious. But I got to go over there after the show at 2:30. It now cuts into my day. I got to pay for chicken skewers. I don't know.
Sometimes you got to pay. Sometimes you got to pay.
And I'm wondering if this is one of those times.
I feel like it's one of those times. It's frustrating. It stinks. I know how much you're looking forward to them. I think you got to chalk this one up as a loss.
Somebody just tweeted me and said, imagine dude standing in front of the urinal at work, walking straight into CK's office. I rest my case. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I go to the bathroom and then I stop in there. And my shoes are right in floor pee.
If there's one thing our bathroom at work is, it's not clean. So you should never eat anything that falls on the floor. Because presumably, someone who has been in that bathroom has walked into CK's office. Probably CK. Why would you ever eat anything that even could have been contaminated by that?
This happened at like 8:57 or 9:08 or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
beginning of the morning.
Yeah.
They probably vacuumed last night. So there's very good chance that anything that's there was basically 9 minutes worth of wear and tear, so to speak. Let's open up the phones. 800-636-1067. Your results on the phones in this instant phone poll will determine whether I eat my chicken or not.
I vote no on proposition floor chicken. I vote no.
Tom is voting no. Dar is voting no. CK is voting no. But the people are going to decide.
The people will speak.
800-636-1067. We're talking about a few seconds that these chicken thigh skewers and asparagus were on the floor. Do I eat them or not? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We do have a smattering of calls to get to a full bank of phones that's going to determine whether or not I eat my chicken thigh skewers and asparagus that fell on the floor, the carpeted floor in CK's office for only about 5 seconds. Right back into the Tupperware it went. It's been in the refrigerator since. I plan on heating it up in the microwave to a hot-to-the-touch level anyway. Kill a bunch of those germs. Plan on eating this food, unless you tell me not to. 800-636-1067. Dar says no. Tom says no. Danny says no, don't do it.
My no is soft. These other guys are going very hard with their no. I just received a text from my pal in Los Angeles, and he's like, you guys are crazy. Eat the chicken. I posted a poll, usually Grant's domain, but at Funny Danny for the poll. I asked if Grant should eat his floor chicken. It was on the ground. We agreed approximately 6 seconds on a high-traffic carpet area.
Danny Poirier, how the results coming in?
It's basically 50-50, split right down the middle. 50% are saying, yes, it's fine. 50% saying, no, that's gross. I thought we'd have more no, that's gross people. And we still may.
We've got a lot of men that listen to our show.
But there's some support for the floor chicken.
Men eat meat. That's what men do. They eat meat.
Yep.
Sometimes you got to suffer through some adversity to eat that meat. Eric and Alexandria, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up? Eric. It's not a good start to this feedback that I'm looking for from the people. Rich and Only, how's it going, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Grant. I got to tell you, man, I am so, so proud of you. Usually with your food decisions, I kind of shake my head at disappointment. Eat that chicken. Heat it up. Radiation will kill anything on there. Eat that meat.
My man.
Eat the chicken. That's one for eat the chicken.
What do you think someone would have done in their cave with their hieroglyphics many, many years ago? They would have said, well, it fell on the floor, so we can't eat this. Probably wouldn't have done that.
Probably ate right off the floor. I mean, that's dirt.
Let's go to Francis in Germantown. Hello, Francis.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Come in.
You eat that chicken.
Eat the chicken.
Eat
former landscaper.
Chicken.
Eat the chicken. Former landscaper for 10 years. I've eaten lunch with gasoline, oil, mulch, dirt, and fertilizer on it. Eat the chicken.
Fertilizer? You've eaten fertilizer?
Oh. Anything that's on your hands is going to go on your sandwich.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all part of it.
Do you get sick a lot?
Not at all.
Wow. My guy's got a great immune system because he's building it up.
When I worked the landscaping crew in Waynesboro, Virginia, summer of my sophomore year, I remember asking like the foreman, the boss, I was like, when do I wash my hands before lunch? And they laughed at me for 15 minutes.
I think you got to bring hand sanitizer or something.
I don't think you do. If you want to live that down on that crew where we're hanging chicken wire at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I'll gladly let them laugh at me. I'm not eating something with poop on my hands.
Well, you're basically trying to do that now.
No, I'm not at all.
You've got floor residue.
I'm sure it's the same.
It's exactly the same.
No, me handling fertilizer and then eating a chicken wing is the same as me dropping something on a carpet for 3 seconds.
You know what?
Settle
down. The traffic that's in there, it's all the same, man. You touch a doorknob, you know what you're touching?
I'm the most sure. Let's go to Ryan in Shadyside.
Science, dude.
Hello, Ryan.
going today?
Good. Thank you.
So, man, I'm an indoor environmentalist. I work with microorganisms every day. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how many seconds it touched the floor. The transfer was complete the second it hit, man. You're going to be eating bacteria and fecal sediments and other stuff.
Thank you.
Aren't we eating that all the time anyway, and we just don't know it?
Probably, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I probably have had that during every meal. Like, when's the last time you've seen someone get up from the table to go wash their hands that you ate dinner with? Pretty rare at a restaurant that people do that. They sit down, they eat their meal. Waiter, waitress brings something out. You have no idea what's going on.
But A, you're using silverware. B, you're probably not using your hands for the most part. And
chicken
C,
wings.
Nobody's just
chicken wings all the time.
So why don't, next time we go for a ratings dinner, why don't you rub your steak on the ground and then just eat that? You're not going to do it probably, right?
Probably not going to do that.
Why not?
But if my steak fell on the ground for a second, I'd put that sun back on the plate and I would start eating it.
Bold claim.
It's a great steak. Why would I not?
Bold
you know what's you know what it's delicious? Great steak.
It's been on the floor.
So is it two no's, one yes right now?
That's a 2-1.
Steven in Winchester.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey,
you bet.
I am 100% go eat the chicken. I would even go as far as saying don't wash it off because that's just going to wash off flavor. Ooh. Just, you know, blow on it a little bit. And also, this is going to score you some wife points. When you go home and tell your wife, I love your chicken skewers so much, I ate them off the floor, she's going to be flattered.
Wow. Good call by Steven. We're 2-2. This is a best of seven series.
It's
first
three,
one to
3-4
to 1.
Wins. You're rolling.
I thought it was 2-2 right now.
No, three eats, one don't eat.
Oh. Let's go to Eugene in Virginia. Hello, Eugene.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, great.
Listen. Totally eat that chicken, man. Come on. Eat the chicken. Dude, you already said it. We eat so many germs. You have no idea how much stuff, how much crap you consume every day. Even when you go to a restaurant, you have no clue what they did in that kitchen. If you didn't know that it hit the floor and somebody was carrying it for you and it hit the floor and they put it back in the Tupperware and then you ate it, you wouldn't have a clue.
Not to mention, you think you've never eaten off silverware at a restaurant that was like, not cleaned 100% or didn't have something on it.
I mean, they've got health inspectors. You do the best you can. The whole point is to either have a good process or don't. You do the best you can or you don't. I understand there's stuff that's airborne, but there's only so much you can protect from. You can protect from this. You've got a choice here in this matter.
We got a lady chiming in here. Leanne in Front Royal. What's up, Leanne?
Hi, Leanne.
How are you?
Very well.
Very
you know,
well.
I say eat the chicken because I've always grown up saying that God made dirt and dirt don't hurt, so you might as well eat it.
All right. God made dirt, and dirt don't hurt.
He didn't make carpet, though.
No,
Did he make stringent and acidic cleaners that are noxious to the touch?
A dude might have made carpet along the way at some point. I like Leanne's mindset, though.
Yeah.
Let's go to Eric in Alexandria. We can get him in real quick. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. I would eat that chicken, but only if I didn't have money to buy another one.
If I can't actually afford to get my chicken.
That's a soft endorsement. Yeah, that's a one.
Very soft. Dave in Arlington.
6-1.
Hey, Grant, this is Octopus Dave. I'll preface this by saying you trusted me with the octopus. So you got to trust me with this one.
All right, good.
My dad had two rules. We had four boys in the house. My dad had two rules. My mom had one. My dad said, 5-second rule. If it hit the ground for 5 seconds, you pick it up and eat it. You don't have to do anything. Just eat it. It helps your immune system. Mother rule, my dad says, ain't no free chicken. If you have to go buy more chicken, why would you buy chicken when you already have chicken?
Ain't no free chicken.
And then my mom would say, if it doesn't have fuzz and it doesn't stink, eat it.
I love that.
There's only free chicken when an opponent misses two free throws at Wizards games in the fourth quarter.
That's
There's your free chicken sandwich.
I'm
going to
go inspect the chicken to make sure that I don't see any hairs or anything on it.
Dude.
And then I'm going
to
pummel the chicken.
7-1 in favor of eating the chicken.
That's how we do it.
I'm praying that today is the day that the chronic food stealer from the other side of the building comes in, sees your food, and decides, I'm going to have some chicken skewers today.
Swoops in.
And she saves you from this disaster you're about to get involved with.
Can you imagine? That would actually be the perfect alternative for everyone. Then I'd have an excuse to go eat something else.
Poll update, 51-49.
Wow,
no, that's gross.
Really?
No, that's gross to 49%. Yes, it's fine. In-person vote. You got four no's, but on the phones, overwhelming dominance for eat the floor chicken.
I wonder what that says. Are callers almost the antithesis of the in-studio vote and the poll vote?
It means our listeners have very low standards.
Well, but I also wonder who has your best interest at heart. Do listeners just want you to eat floor chicken like it's an oddity?
You guys certainly don't.
You don't think we do?
I don't think you do.
If I didn't care, I'd say, eat it. Who cares, dude?
We certainly have your best interest at heart. The listeners just want you to eat floor
chicken.
Dar
can't even keep a straight face while he says that.
I'm actually being serious.
He did speak through a smile there, but he was trying to be serious because it was funny.
I just got a funny DM from Gilo who said to the woman who said God made dirt and dirt don't hurt, God also made the Black Plague and that killed everybody. So let's maybe not go with that.
Dirt don't hurt, though, most importantly.
Dirt does not hurt.
Grant and Danny on the fan. The Beltway Blitz is next. Thank you. I'm going to go eat my chicken.
You don't have to eat floor chicken if you don't want to, but you can. It's your right. You can go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford. That didn't make any sense, that transition. We were just talking about floor chicken. Here's the point. Happy anniversary to Ted Britt Ford. 60 years of eating floor chicken. No, that's a misprint. 60 years of making good decisions, like not eating floor chicken. Taking care of folks like you and me since 1959, they've been in business. Pretty amazing stuff, man. Celebrating by passing the savings on to you, right, meow, during the Summer of 60 event. Here's the deal. Whole bunch of great cars, trucks, SUVs at Ted Britt Ford, right? You know about them. I'll tell you about a couple in a second. You're not going to pay anything to them for 60 days, right? 60 days to honor 60 years. They couldn't do no payments for 60 years. That'd be a bit ridiculous. But they'll do it for 2 months. No payments for 60 days. On the following, how about this? $7,000 off the MSRP on a Mustang. No payments for 60 days. $8,000 off the MSRP on a 2019 Escape or Echo Sport. And again, no payments for 60 days. How about $9,000 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ford Explorer? Again, no payments for 60 days. You got to go see them and let them treat you as well as they treat me. So many thousands of customers over 60 years. When you go, please tell me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.